Chapter 2. We Are McCragg. The alarms were sounding again. From prow to stern, deck to deck, men and women scrambled into sudden and urgent activity, driven by duty and an all-too-human instinct to survive, to live, to go on. That was it. All they had left. Previously held illusions of glory or honour, or even retribution, had long since given away to the overwhelming likelihood of extinction. An eternal whine went through the Emperor's will like a rusty bandsaw. It drew Anna Reeder's face into a sharp grimace that pulled at her scars and set her perfect teeth on edge. "Get your gear!" she growled, her skin alternating from tan to red to tan as the warning lumens flashed across her face. "Up! Up!" The ship's armsmen rose with bone-tired urgency from their bunks. Sleep routine had been scheduled for 45 minutes. They had taken barely 10. Momentum grew as the inertia of fatigue faded, ready hands grabbing the stocks of auto-stubbers and las carbines. The lights were off, barring the red strobes. The ring of booted feet thundered through the corridor adjacent to the barrack room. "Armour on! Flak weave and carapace! Heavy assault conditions! Move!" shouted Reeder, her own armour strapped and locked. Reports came thick through her personal vox, describing encounters with the enemy across different parts of the ship. Frantically, the Emperor's will strove to respond, its defenders coalescing the way white blood cells gather to fight an infection of the body. This ship was their body. Lose it to that infection, and they were all dead. Or worse. Men and women filed out into the corridor, clad in begrimed grey fatigues and scarred blue carapace. Reeder followed them into the darkness, their numbers adding to the cacophony. "Who are we?" she bellowed, her voice barely audible over the clamour. But her charges all replied as one.
"We are McCragg!"
"Who are we?"
she asked again, ratcheting a grenade into the underslung launcher attached to her shotgun.
"We are McCragg!"
"Damn right we are!"
said Reeder, ducking under an overhead branch of piping, and clapped the armsman in front of her hard on the shoulders to make him pick up the pace.
"Now, let's kick these bastards off our ship!"
She clamped on her helmet, hooking up the chin strap one-handed. It had happened fast. Nothing. Weeks of empty patrols and raw-nerved uneventfulness. And then suddenly peril. Ships had materialized. With so few interceptors left and a dearth of still-functional anti-aircraft guns, the enemy boarders had been virtually unimpeded. But even without some of her guns, as weary as she was, the Emperor's will still had teeth. Inside the ship, everything was red-flush darkness, as gaudy as a neon abattoir. As the walls of the minor transitway pressed in, the air swilled with the stink of sweat and unwashed bodies. No time to think, no time to fear. Just fight. This was Ultramar. They were born to this, and she would not be found wanting in their eyes. Through the press and the ruddy gloom, a small fissure of brighter light persisted ahead, the corridor's edge. From there, the ship opened out into one of its main arterials, a larger hall, an honour hall. Reeder carried on into the ruck, closer and closer to the light. Like a drawing sun, it began to fill her claustrophobic world, migraine bright and as hot as a forge. The hall was burning.
"That isn't the lumens,"
she murmured, as the armsmen flooded out in search of cover. It was fire.
"Into position!"
Fallard was shouting orders, a cerulean lasfire spat either side of his gesturing form.
"Bush squad! Bush squad!"
He stopped short when his throat was shot out. Blood exploded in slow motion, painting his armour plate and spinning Fallard so he fell face down in front of the advancing troopers. Others died too. Headshots through gaps in their armour, some caught in the throat like their sergeant.
"Down! Down!"
shouted Reeder, barely able to make out the enemy amidst the cascade of heat and light and smoke.
"Into cover!"
she roared.
"Rebreather's on!"
She dragged on her own mask, and the sound of her rapid, adrenaline-fueled breathing resonated loudly in her skull. It failed to block the high-pitched whine of las carbines and the thud of solid shot. Metal-on-metal ricochets lit the edge of the maintenance alcove in sparks, like dying fireflies. Hunkered down, she gave a burst of retaliatory fire, and a smoke-haze silhouette sank from view ahead. Rita estimated around 70% of her force had survived deployment into the arterial. She had around 12 troopers with her in the alcove, and several groups of a similar size stood farther up the corridor, or crouched directly across from her, exchanging blind snapfire with their foes. Cultists, she realized. No envirosuits, no rebreathers, though they did wear masks. Leather, but not animal hide. Rita thought she recognized part of a human ear on one of them, dried out and beaten flat. Cheap armor, scavenged gear. They were inferior in every way to the Ultramarians, but they had a manic fervor, an utter disregard for their lives or the lives of their comrades that went beyond suicidal. Through drifts of smoke, Rita saw a cultist crouched over one of the injured. A crude bone mask hid gender and identity, but revealed a balding skull, wretched with rat scars and tufts of wiry white hair. Clad in black leather and rough brown Hessian, the cultist looked more like a butcher than a soldier, and went to work on the injured armsman with a serrated knife, about the length of a human forearm. The armsman screamed, already in agony, but now having to deal with the torture of his flesh too. Rita fired two shots, and the boom of the shotgun's report barely registered in the madness of it all. The first shot almost cut the cultist in half and blasted it into the darkness to lie with the rest of the dead. The second killed the tortured armsman, and Rita said to herself, this was mercy. A heavy rate of fire was coming from the armsmen now, their better training and equipment tipping the scales. The cultists had thinned, still trading shots, still seizing like hungry arachnids on the wounded. Rita had seen enough.
Push up! Push up!
She roared, letting the voximeter strapped to her breastplate carry the order. The armsmen moved as one, suppressing fire, staving off the worst of the cultists' reply. It was all over in a few more minutes, the last of the cultists slashing its own throat and hollering some dark promise to its gods before it bled out all over the deck. Recyc fans had kicked in, draining off the worst of the smoke, and only then did Rita see the enemy's entry point. A crude breacher shell had cored through the hull, the melter burns from its cutting array still glowing hot around the savaged metal. Such was the rapidity of the engagement. Banners, parchment rolls of honour, had once stood in this hall. They were soot and charred remains now, despite the best efforts of the armsmen to save them. And now they realised where the fires had been started. Pulling down the rebreather mask, Rita regarded the ragged horde her troops had just annihilated. Cannon fodder. Light enough fires, cause enough disruption, and the true target of an attack is much harder to discern. Reports of further engagements tripped over the vox feed, as if to confirm this fact.
Lieutenant!
A blooded trooper, Geraint, approached Rita to ask an unspoken question. The sounds of battle echoed from deeper in the ship, north of their position. The enemy amassing its disparate forces, trying to attain coherency. The armsmen had to meet them and make sure that did not happen.
Anything from Colonel Kraif?
Geraint shook his head.
Then we move up, said Rita,
and then louder so that all the survivors could hear.
You three,
she said, her gaze quickly taking in three armsmen.
Get the wounded to the medicay. The rest,
she said, indulging in an emphatic reload of the shotgun.
Forwards on my lead.